further because he heard and he knew these ancient prophecies concerning the true king of Israel, right? Like the one found in verse 6, which comes from the Old Testament book of Micah, chapter 5, verse 2. And it says this, it says, "And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." And this prophecy from Micah is one of dozens of prophecies in the Old Testament that, again, prophesy and tell about this king, the King of Kings, that would come to this world, the true king who would lead God's people, right, into victory, right, into new life. And so Herod knew these things, okay? So he knew, again, that he was not the true king of Israel, that he was a puppet king. And he knew that there was these prophecies that were prophesying about the true king coming. And so Herod knew what was up, right? He saw the writing on the wall. He knew his time of playing king was over. He knew that Jesus was probably this true king that was there to take away the authority that he wanted. But what did Herod do? What did Herod do? He didn't react in the way that the wise men reacted. Instead, Herod was troubled. Herod did not worship Jesus. Herod did not want his party to end. So unlike the wise men, Herod did not worship Jesus because Herod wanted to remain the king in his own life. So many of us here grew up in the church. Right? Many of us know the right theology, right? We know the right Sunday school answers. It's always Jesus. Right, we know all the stories in the Bible. We know how many animals were taken onto the ark. We memorized like the David's mighty men, right? And all these fun Sunday school trivia questions, right? We know the Bible, right? Many of us are good people, right? Members of the church, officers, even our parents are elders or pastors or missionaries. Many of us are seemingly then close to Jesus. We have the right pedigree. We have the right beliefs, we have the right methodology, and therefore we should be more inclined to come to Jesus and to worship him. Yet many of us fail to do so, because worshiping Jesus as our king means that we need to stop playing king in our own lives. In other words, if we admit that Jesus is the king, the true king, then we must do what Jesus wants us to do. We must submit to Jesus in all ways. If we admit that Jesus is our king, we can't pick and choose the areas where we apply that truth and places where we apply, where we want to remain king in our own lives. If we admit that Jesus is our king, we can't choose what days to submit to him and which days that we can do as we please. And that is hard. That is hard. And are we setting aside every Sunday as a day of rest and worship? Are we also seeing Monday through Saturday as opportunities to rest and worship? Are we loving our neighbors as ourselves, including the annoying neighbor who always takes our trash can? Are we seeking accountability for our sin struggles? Are we sacrificially giving to God in the form of tithes and offerings? Are we honoring our parents? And this isn't just for the kids, but this is for adults, middle-aged adults. Are we honoring our parents? Are we actively helping the poor and needy? Right? And these are just some of the things that Jesus, as our King, expects from us. These are some of the things that Jesus calls us to submit to him in, to doing and to actively engaging in. And these are the things that are really hard for us to do. But there's good news, right? Because just like Herod, Jesus still comes to us and he invites us to come and worship him, right? Despite our struggles and difficulties in submitting to Jesus and in worshiping him, Jesus never writes us off. The ship to worship, you know, Jesus and to submit to him never sails, right? It's still docked at the harbor, waiting for us to hop on it, right? It doesn't matter what we did yesterday. It doesn't matter what we did this morning. It doesn't even matter what's going through our minds right now. We can follow Jesus, right? Starting from today or continuing from today. We have an opportunity to come to Jesus continually to find forgiveness and mercy and empowerment. And this invitation never expires, right? Jesus continually extends this invitation to us. Right? Sometimes we think that, okay, oh, well, that's like such elementary stuff, right? And that's stuff for like, you know, when you're a new believer, you wrestle with, but you know, now that I'm a mature believer, you know, we got to think more high-level stuff. But in reality, the call to repentance and to trust and to believe in Jesus is an invitation that God extends to all of us. Right? As Tim Keller once said, the gospel is not just the ABC of the Christian life, but the A to Z of the Christian life. And so it's never too late, right, to lay down our crowns for Jesus and to come to him, and to submit ourselves to him and to worship him as our King. And third and finally, the star. Verse 9 says that after listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Now, as I mentioned earlier, these wise men were probably Persian priests or magicians even. And as such, they studied the stars, right? Much like, you know, some of us, you know, love reading the newspapers or the, you know, websites for our daily horoscopes, right? Or, you know, we know what sign we are, right? This is what these men did. Right, they studied the stars, and they used the stars to kind of teach them and to learn from them about different things. Right, and as interesting as that methodology is, right, and as you know, maybe even questionable as that is, somehow it was through this methodology of studying the stars that they realized that one of these stars was going to take them to Jesus. And we know that this was not an accident, right? We know that this wasn't act of cosmic coincidence or that this wasn't the universe somehow speaking the truths, right, to these magicians. Instead, we know that this star was placed exactly where it was by God in order to bring the good news of Jesus' birth to these wise men. And in a similar way, right, God wants us, right, to lead others to the good news, to the light of Jesus. Right, he wants us to be guides, leading people who don't know Jesus, who are far from him, to experience the joy of knowing his love. And so, like the star, we first need to be contextual as we do this. Right? Again, God used a star to guide these star studiers to Jesus. Right? He reached out to them, in other words, in a way that they would understand and be able to connect with. In the same way, we need to lead people to Jesus in a way that is catered, that is contextualized to the people that we are talking with, that we are interacting with. In other words, there is no one-size-fits-all way to do evangelism. Right? Handing out tracts, inviting friends to a church event, doing a neighborhood cleanup, buying a beer for a neighbor. Right? All of these things can be different yet effective ways to share about Jesus as long as they meet someone where they are. Second, the star reached people who were far away. You know, the reality is that the vast majority of people who are here at Renewal came to our church from another church. Right? We grew up in church. We moved to Philly for a job or for work, and so we transferred our membership here to Renewal. You know, and there's nothing wrong with that happening. Right? In fact, that is a good thing, right? That we can be a church home for Christians and believers who move to Philly. Right? That is a very good thing. But we also want to keep growing by people who don't know Jesus coming to know him through our ministry here. Right? I love our adult baptisms. I love meeting folks who literally met Jesus, right, during their time here at Renewal. And we want to grow in that, right? We want people to get baptized. We want people to be born again into God's family. We want people who walked away from Jesus, right, during their youth to come back to Jesus, to start following him once again through our ministry here. We want to shine the light of the gospel to people, not just to people who are close to God, but to people who are far from him. And third and finally, or third, the star led the wise men into community. Right? So when the star revealed itself to these wise men, the star didn't just give the wise men all the knowledge and the truth of the gospel to them right where they were. Right? Instead, the star, what did it do? It led the wise men to Jerusalem. Right? And so the people of the wise men traveled to Jerusalem, where they came and they saw Mary and Jesus in their home where they were staying. And in that context, they were able to share their gifts with this family. And so in the same way, we want to invite people, not just into a relationship with Jesus in some kind of abstract kind of way, isolated amongst themselves, but we want to share Jesus and to invite people to experience Jesus in community. We want to invite people into our family, where we share meals and we share blessings with one another. And I think it's so telling here that these wise men brought gifts for Jesus, right? I think that's one of the big markers, I think, that differentiate charity versus community. Right? As a church, it's easy for us to just continually give things to people who are around us, right? We serve them through acts of service. We donate money to different organizations. We give bags of food to the homeless, et cetera, et cetera. But God also calls us to receive, right? And that mutual blessing, that mutual gift-giving, that mutual serving happens in the context of community, right? It's when we invite people who are out there to come in here, not just to receive our charity from them, but we invite people into our community where they can bless the community. And we can mutually work towards building one another up. This is a picture of what the hope of evangelism is. Right? We want to add people to the church, and as a church uses all of our gifts and our resources to bless the church and bless one another, that is a picture of our covenant family here at Renewal. That's what we want to see happen more of. And fourth and finally, the star guided the wise men to Jesus by shining brightly. Right? In Matthew 5:16, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." And so what does it mean for us to shine our light before others? Right, I think it means to be gracious and patient with difficult coworkers. I think it means to be generous with our time and money. I think it means to invite people into our homes and to feed them really good food and really good drink. I think it means for us to pursue justice in our city, in our world. I think it means to advocate for those who are marginalized and voiceless in our society. I think it means to love people more than an ideology or a political party. It means that when people in the world interact with us, and when they see us, they should sense a palatable difference in how we think and live. Our lives, by the way that we live them, by the things that we say, by the actions that we take, should tell people that, there is something different about this person. There is something different in the way that they treat me, in the way that they interact with the world, in the things that they say. I wonder what that difference is. This is what it means for us to shine brightly. That our actions, that our words, that our posture in life communicates the gospel, and it draws people to Jesus. See, because unlike those billionaires who are concerned only about themselves, Jesus did not come to this world to escape. Instead, he came to this world to rescue. He came to save a broken and fallen world from sin and redeem and restore it to its intended glory. And this is good news, not just for a select few, for those who make the cut, but this is good news for everyone. So whether you grew up in the church or not, whether you are rich or poor, black, white, Asian, young or old, this is our good news. And so come to Jesus. Come to him this morning, just as we are. Worship him. Submit to him, follow him, and then go out. Go out and share the good news of Jesus with the world around us. Let me pray for us.